Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Orient Cement Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Mittal from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good afternoon and warm welcome to everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you to the third quarter and FY23 earnings call of Orient Cement Limited. On the call, we have with us Mr. Deepak Khetrapal, MD and CEO of the company. At this point of time, I will hand over the floor to Mr. Deepak Khetrapal for his opening remarks, which will be followed by an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Harsh, and thank you everybody who's found time to be on this call to hear us out today and, you know, get a little bit more nuances of the Q3 performance that we've had. Although I know you people have already done your numbers, you've read lots of reports, I guess. Even then, I think, I'll take you through a few of the highlights for those of you who have not picked it up. Well, as you would recall that when we were doing the Q2 investors call, at that time, we were a little bit concerned because October had started off very slowly, given the fact that there were extended monsoons and also all the festivals fell in the same month of October. October was a little bit worrisome. Fortunately, as expected, post-Diwali, post-Chhath Puja, slowly, gradually the momentum started building, and which actually gave us, I think all of us, the entire industry, a lot of respite from the previous quarter, which was rather soft. I guess if we add up the monthly data which comes from DIPT for the core sector growth as a whole, the cement industry across India seems to have grown 10% YOY and 8% QOQ in the, you know, in this year over the previous preceding period that I mentioned. In the 10% YOY, 8% QOQ, which is the DIPT data, we are happy that we as a company, despite a soft Q2 and despite, like I mentioned, a soft start to the Q3, we ended up with a total sold volumes of 4.30 lakh tons, which obviously is in the region of, you know, about 17% YOY and just about there in QOQ basis also. Obviously it's a growth which we at least are happy to see in the market, and the capacity utilization at higher than 70% for the quarter is a relief, because when you're in 60s, it's very different than when you're at, you know, start looking at 70. Hopefully, I think this momentum that we've seen in the last 2 months, or more importantly, last 6 weeks of Q3, we expect the momentum to continue. If we see the general demand in the month of January, which is just closed, I do believe that we should see good growth, the momentum that we've seen. If 10% was Q3 growth for this industry, I think Q4 we could expect a similar, if somewhat higher growth possibly. That's where we see the growth continuing. If we look at our YTD volumes, we have in the 9 months done total volumes about 40.50 lakhs or 4.05 millions. Given the momentum just that we would like to end the year with about 5.8 million tons of sales in volumes. We started the year with the ambition of 6 million. We obviously are not likely to touch 6 million, but we will be fairly close to it. I mean, when you start this year and you're within 3% of what you had forecasted, and especially with the kind of months we've had, and a very soft Q2 also, I think we should feel happy. At least we believe this quarter does what we expect it to do with the momentum. On the volumes and sales, I think we have some comfort. The basic, I think, worry that we have in the cement industry and that the investors would share with us, that despite the strong momentum in the demand in the marketplace, the prices have not risen for us to recover the inflated costs that obviously have been coming in over the last many quarters. The costs remain high and the prices have not been able to sort of give us the leeway in terms of passing these costs on. So that obviously has been a challenge. Realizations, if we look at it per se, they are for Q3 for us have been a little over 5,100 rupees per ton, which on YOY basis just about 1% above, and even on QOQ basis is 3% higher, which is very, very small compared to the overall inflation in the steep inflation, actually steep rise in the fuel costs that we have seen for the industry. I mean, no player has been able to escape that, but the market prices are just marginally up. For us, if you were to look at it, the power and fuel cost in Q3, YOY was, means over Q3 of last year, were higher by about 35% over last year, which is a huge, huge annual inflation. And this is despite the fact that we've had some respite in Q2 where the power and fuel costs are actually lower by 4% at our company in Q3. And here we have to just sort of maybe when I talk about the total volume sold in Q3, we've had a little bit of a challenge in the form of the fact that bulk of this growth and the momentum that we see has actually been coming from our B2B markets, large projects, other B2B customers, the ready mix players, which again supply to many larger, more organized markets. There is a very strong growth in that market, but in the B2C side, we are actually seeing still a lot of softness, a lot of headwinds, if you want to call them. And what that does is that if we sell more, and we definitely have sold more to B2B segment in this particular quarter compared to ever before. I mean, this year, for the first time, I think we have the B2B sales in this particular quarter have gone to about 51%, which last year around that time we had 41% only. And in Q2 also we were at 45%. So we have seen a steep jump. And so while we have the challenge of prices from B2B segment, that's one part of it. But at the same time, it also means that when we produce more for the B2B segment, which largely buys more of OPC, it also means that our power and fuel costs per ton do go up. So when I'm saying overall power and fuel costs are lower by 4% over the previous quarter, if we factor in the fact that we had an OPC percentage going up, so the product mix getting a little adverse, that typically would mean the landed cost of fuel would have gone in by a slightly a higher percentage compared to 4% that we see, and balance have gone into the adverse product mix. So that's one thing which I thought I'll just bring it to your information as to. The inflation that we had suffered obviously is showing sound signs of a little bit benign thing. Let's go how it happens in future, because as we've heard, the availability of petcoke in India is dramatically going to fall. The largest producer of petcoke decides to use it domestically for gasification or whatever they want to do with it. Even our total costs that we see, I think we are nearly 5% lower sequentially over Q2, which is, I think, becomes relevant when we start comparing the costs now. As I mentioned, we have had 16-17% growth in physical volume sold, but the net sales have actually gone up by 19%, both YOY and QOQ, that's rupees and crores. And as I mentioned, a large part of the growth has come from the B2B market. And because lots of people will come back to the question, so we've sold 51% to the B2B market, and our OPC has actually gone up to 47%. Typically, blended cement sales typically do remain much higher than what we have in this quarter of 53%. So 53% blended, 47% OPC, which is largely unblended. In terms of market mix, we have actually seen much better traction in the West markets for us, which have actually supported us rather well compared to the other markets, which largely are South for us. And the West markets in this particular quarter, we've seen the total volume sold in West is at 56%, which is higher than the earlier quarters. And the soft sentiment in B2C also impacted the total offtake as a percentage of B2C, even in Strongcrete, which is our premium brand, And as all of you know, our premium brand means 45 rupees plus my price of OPC. Still hovers around 15%, but rather than being slightly over 15%, this time it's slightly under 15%. So that's a little bit of nuance compared to what we were seeing as a rising trend in stock. It's marginal hiccup. Hopefully, as soon as the B2C demand picks up and our proportion of B2B, B2C that we've had traditionally, if that restores, one, our operating costs will show that benefit. At the same time, we'll also perhaps see a little bit more of the premium segment that is strongly contributing more to our sales. We do continue our philosophy of trying to basically go for recovering the price for our cement, which is justified by the quality that we give to the markets. And any orders which do not meet our threshold of contribution per ton, we're happy to say no to and walk away from the business. So that does remain the operating philosophy, and we have no intention of changing that. So that's on the revenue and the sales mix, both in terms of the customer segments and also in terms of geographical markets. On the cost side, I think again, like I mentioned, we do have some respite in total costs, and most importantly, in the power and fuel costs. In terms of fuel mix, as we've always been saying, our Karnataka Chittapur plant, as we call it in District Gulbarga, that is largely run on pet coke, only supplemented by the AFRs that we keep consuming in large amount. Whereas in our Telangana plant in Devapur, we actually run largely domestic coal. Whatever is not domestic coal is largely the AFR, barring maybe we had some imported coal which was left over from the previous imports, just about 1% in this quarter. Otherwise, largely domestic coal at Devapur and largely imported pet coke at Chittapur. That's our fuel mix. And overall for the company, if we look at it, I think we would be perhaps equally divided between domestic coal and pet coke at about 40-41% or thereabouts, domestic coal and imported pet coke. And the rest is largely AFR, excepting, like I said, 1% of the leftover of the imported coal earlier. AFR for us in volumetric terms this quarter has been at 17%, which keeps improving for us, and that actually gives us a fairly large benefit on a quarterly basis of, I would say, in the region of about 10 crores in the whole quarter that we save by just using more of AFR compared to the fossil fuels that we as a cement industry are used to using. Similarly, and obviously, while it gives us cost advantages, it also gives us more, I think, benefit in terms of sustainability, because we are not burning any of the regular fuels that can be used. We are actually, AFR is largely a waste coming from different activities that humans have, including RDF, as we call them, or municipal solid waste, the hazardous waste coming from pharma industry, beyond the biomass that everybody is used to using. We're trying to use as much of these kind of AFRs as possible rather than using what is called an AFR, which is the carbon black. But slowly, gradually, with the demand increasing for carbon black, we try, I'm not saying we don't use carbon black, but we try and use as low a quantity of carbon black vis-a-vis the other cheaper, I would say, and more sustainable AFRs. So that continues to be our fuel mix. On the power side, as I have been mentioning earlier also, we had invested a small sum of a little over 4 crores in putting up solar power capacity, which in Q3 actually supplied about 62% of total power at our Jalgaon grinding unit, has actually come from that project, solar power. And at Chittapur plant, we are again, the state government regulations enable us to procure solar and wind power, that is renewable power, at fairly competitive terms. There also we've been consuming a lot of renewable power. Company as a whole, once again, if I were to say the total renewable power consumed by us in the quarter is as high as 18%, which is despite as of now not having a waste heat recovery plant at any of our plants. The waste heat recovery plant at Chittapur we expect to commission as scheduled, and the benefits of the waste heat recovery plant should start becoming visible from the first quarter of FY24. That is just now 2 months away. So as it is, without that also, total, out of total 18% is being consumed, plus we'll add about 10 megawatts of waste heat power, which sort of makes us further green. In terms of cost of fuel, lots of you always ask me about it, so I thought I'll prepare that information. Our total fuel cost of the entire mix for the company is well below 2,200 rupees per million kilocalories. And I would say this particular landed cost is nearly 40% higher over last year's same quarter. And you have seen the impact of that. I don't need to elaborate further on that. The petcoke, as of now, as we stand, I think from the last import that we made, we should be okay for the month of February, and we've also booked one more ship which should be landing us, landing or reaching India within the month of February, which will cover us for our requirements of possibly up to May. And the last shipment that we brought in is at a slightly higher cost compared to what we imported earlier. The higher cost on petcoke, I'm saying, which is used at the rubber plant. This particular ship has been booked at, in my estimate, at the cost which is higher by just under 3% over last shipment that we brought in. So marginal increase, but we had to book it. We couldn't wait any further because otherwise we would have been running out of fuel. So that's been booked and we covered till May. Beyond that, now we will obviously need to wait for maybe 8 weeks, maybe 10 weeks before we book the next ship, and let's see how the costs come down further. So one of the expectations that some people may have, that the fuel prices softening, when we had to book our fuel for, like I said, till May, we had to take whatever the market prices were. So if the prices soften further, to our company, the benefit will start becoming visible only from the month of June 2023. So just thought I'll make that also clear so that you know the savings of any softening of petcoke prices going forward will not be available to us, because the ship will need to be booked and it needs to arrive in India at a certain point in time. Those are, let's say, on the fuel mix, again, the questions that people keep asking. So net power and fuel cost per ton for us in Q3 is 1578, which is 35% higher YOY. Obviously, as I mentioned, there are differences between why the landed cost was 40% and why the total power and fuel, because that what I've given you is only the fuel cost. Power cost obviously has not seen as much inflation as fuel costs have. So that's why the little bit of gap between what I'm reporting is landed cost inflation versus my total cost of power fuel, which is 35% higher over last year. From the numbers that I'm seeing of the rest of the industry, we would still be one of the lowest in terms of power and fuel costs this quarter too. And I think in terms of inflation, the problem is, as the data is reported always, I think we are now getting into a zone where for the next few quarters, our base cost of fuel would start looking higher. So as a result of that, the delta that we keep seeing, the government publishes the inflation numbers also, we forget that, you know, whatever inflation has happened in the past, that stays. And when we say inflation has gone down, it is actually further inflation on the raised level. So that pain, even if it is softening, I'm not saying it's going away. It may look moderated because base will also be higher, and then we'll have some bit of softening of prices. So hopefully, yeah, the rate of inflation that we've seen in fuel costs should be behind us. Although the overall costs, like I said, we'll see how far they actually soften. Whatever have been the cost increases in petcoke, we also need to keep in mind, because the AFR that we use also was being bid by almost every player in the industry. So at our company, we've seen more than doubling of the cost of even the AFR. But despite that, there's a significant arbitrage that is available by using AFR compared to the traditional fuels. And that's exactly the reason why we keep using it more and more. Even if I had a double, I think the arbitrage is just too large. And as I mentioned, on a quarterly basis, it would be as much as 10 crores a quarter with a company our size. And we know our size is what it is. Efficiencies-wise, we continue to maintain our, I would say, excellent levels of power consumption and fuel consumption, so that stays with us. So as you can see, our cost management, I think in terms of our strengths, cost management remains a strength. It's very, very solid grounds. The challenge has been that despite all the key variables, variable costs pushed high and market seeing demand momentum, we just perhaps need an opportunity to be able to pass on the increased costs to the markets, which as of now are not visible, but obviously we never know, because we've seen especially in Q4 of the financial year, as the market starts needing more and more of cement, the momentum does build up in Q4. If thereby we can find an opportunity to pass on these additional, whatever we can, of the risen costs to the market, obviously that attempt will be made. We are not giving up, but are there signs visible as of now? I'm sorry to say no. Despite all this, I would say volume increase, managing the costs well, due to prices being where they have been in Q3, our EBITDA is at 91 crores for Q3, as all of you would have seen, which is about 25% lower YOY, but largely driven by the fact that the cost increases have stayed with us on our P&L rather than being passed on. But it does look wonderfully better than Q2, which was actually, I wouldn't like to compare our Q2, which was the EBITDA has actually come down to just about 37 crores. So that it looks a huge rise, but quite honestly, we are not proud of that huge rise, because on a per ton basis, we are still just about 640 rupees a ton, which is not a good level to be. But let's see, I mean, who knows, in the remaining, whatever, 8 weeks of this particular quarter, if things turn around and pricing we get, we hope to be able to improve the realization. And the only thing we can do is whatever we can realize higher from the markets, just go to our bottom line, because the costs have been pegged and they're managed well. On the balance sheet side, we've paid another 37 crores, which is our quarterly repayment obligation under the term loan that we had for the projects. And then YTD, obviously, towards that 111 crores stands paid. Working capital, as you would have guessed, keeps coming under pressure, given the fact that the more you sell to the B2B market, the credit periods always are longer. So we are still borrowing a much larger sum from our working capital limits from the banks, which we actually, till a few quarters ago, we were not borrowing at all on working capital. So total debt for us, as on date, is 403 crores, including working capital. That includes the interest-free loan that we got from the state government in Karnataka. So out of 400-odd crores, the interest-bearing debt is only 365 crores. And the bank term debt, also that of the original project of Sitapur, that's down to now 240 crores. Again, like I said, when we now look forward with the demand momentum, which we are seeing with yesterday's budget being extremely pro-CapEx, pro-investments, pro, I would say, focused on building more roads, more investment into railways, more investments into PM Awas Yojana, all that affordable housing schemes, we do think a sustained period of good demand ahead of us. The cost regime seems to be getting a little bit benign, which is the good news. And if all things fall in place, we should be looking at much better, let's say, quarters going forward in the next financial year. So that's where we, I think, we see how the things look. The rest of our strategies, as we've always maintained, you know, how we pick our markets, how we choose which customer to sell to, those remain steady, and we keep pushing our efforts to reduce the price gap that we realize from the markets vis-a-vis our competition. And that, I'm sure, is visible to all of you when you see the improvement in our realizations relative to the rest of the industry quarter after quarter. I think I'll stop here now and let the questions flow. And if there is anything I've missed out on this, maybe I'll try and answer the question if I have the information available. Otherwise, we get back. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mangesh Bhadang from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. So firstly is on the volumes. So you mentioned that West has seen a good traction this quarter, but we hear that at least the Andhra Telangana markets have also grown by almost 20-25%, and even 20% growth is there in Karnataka. So I just wanted to understand, have we seen similar growth for us in those markets, and what could be the reason for higher traction in this?
See, when we talk about growth that we are reporting today, one is the reports that we have in terms of what we've grown, and second is what we see in the ecosystem. The fact of the matter is that it's a matter of where we choose to sell and how much in which market we choose to sell. So the two numbers could be a little bit different. But as I mentioned earlier, the overall traction and demand is obviously being proved by even the DITP data that you have. Although that is pan India, but it still sort of in a way gives you where the entire market is. We certainly want our market share to keep rising all the time, but not at the cost of prices. So if you see a dissonance between the two, that's simply explained by the different strategies different companies choose to whom to sell. Right? So I wouldn't be able to reconcile the two, excepting saying that we have our own business strategy and which markets and which product we would like to sell. And that is governed by how much contribution per ton we can make from any particular order. But demand is strong, traction is strong, the expectation going forward of the volumes does remain strong across markets.
Okay. So next to it, last quarter you had mentioned that since the demand environment was soft, you are not thinking about the CapEx. So any thoughts on it now?
Absolutely. No, that situation is always dynamic. It's not that we take a decision, we stick with it. Earlier, some time ago, we had thought we should expedite it. Then we realized there's no market demand. Even today, the capacity utilization in this quarter is still just over 70%. We can easily go in one quarter as high as 90% or thereabouts. So there's no, let's say, immediate panic on that. But definitely, we have started relooking at our plans, which have always been with us for expansion. And a little bit of activity on that we're beginning to sort of also make, because as I have been mentioning, at our Telangana Devapur plant, we want to put up a line four, and there some investments were needed in terms of, clearing some land for those activities in terms of making sure that the land and site does become available for us to start the construction process. That's very much, we are in readiness. We'll watch the situation, the demand. If it sustains, obviously we'll once again push the pedal when it comes to CapEx.
So after you take the decision, how much time you think you will take to commission that expansion?
From the time we press on the pedal, it should be between 15 and 18 months.
Great. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Last question from you on freight. So any impact because of the busy season surcharge that we have seen in the freight cost?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you clearly.
Sir, question is on the freight cost. So railway has started the busy season surcharge, but our freight cost has not increased in that proportion. So just wanted to understand, what could be the impact there, and have we seen payments otherwise?
Now, obviously, this is very, I would say, tactical on the part of railways always when they start sort of levying these kind of surcharges, because our peak period starts, so they also believe it's their peak time to make money. And then we try and optimize by relook at the mix of logistics that we have, railways versus transport, because end of the day, we need to look at our P&L, even when railways are trying to improve their profitability. So it's a function of, whether we choose to supply by rail or by trucks. And once again, if some markets do not look attractive enough net of freight payment, we obviously would not sell there and trying to find sell more in the markets nearby. But your question is absolutely valid. Freight is a concern, especially when railways are becoming, I would say, a more difficult, but in Q3, fortunately, we've actually been able to use in the overall demand growth, and we also need to, you know, get the cement at the markets where they're needed. So in Q3, our railway component of dispatches has been 16%, against 15% of the previous quarter, but still lower than what we had last year.
Okay, sir. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupama Bhutra from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
I had a question on CAPEX. If you can throw some light on CAPEX for FY24. And also, if you can give us mix, the rail and the road mix for Q3 or
like I said, okay, on CAPEX, I would just sort of like to share at this moment one piece of small data, which is earlier we had said that we might have a significant CAPEX happening in FY23, which we were estimating could be even about 800 crores, because we wanted to start making large investments in the grinding unit and in the line 4. We haven't done that. So in this particular year, our CAPEX may be limited to just about 150 crores. Okay? For FY24, if you can allow me some time to reassess, as the previous question also was there about, you know, what our plans are. When I speak to you in the month of April with full year results for this particular financial, I'll be able to give you a little more granular picture on that. So just bear with me for a while. We are relooking at the whole thing. We're trying to expedite the entire thing. So I'll be able to give you a much better picture in April, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my question is that going forward, as given our philosophy of approaching the market, majorly to B2C rather than B2B, and more demand is coming from the government side, the public expenditure side. So how we are going to tackle this scenario, because in 2024, again, the election demands that will be again majorly towards the public expenditure. So, and the continuously the rate hikes will be there, and which is impacting the investment climate as far as real estate is concerned. So can you, what should be the trade-off, and how we, and can there be any change expected? Because as we see, the OPC cement volume is rising, and that is impacting our overall margin profitability and all. So will there be any change in the strategy going forward near term?
Look, again, the strategy, one point that I would certainly want to remind everyone about is that we are quite capable of producing and delivering, I mean, quite frankly, even in excess of 18 lakh tons in a quarter, right? We can easily do that. If that demand comes in from both the sides, we would certainly like to make the best of both the markets, as long as they're giving me a certain level of contribution, okay? So currently, there is no capacity constraint that we see, at least, if we are at about just over 70%, then I'm saying we can comfortably exceed 85% of capacity utilization as of now. No matter what growth in demand we're talking about, I don't think we are actually going to be running out of capacity for the next 2 years for us to not participate in the markets. Then the question comes, which market is giving you more contribution at that point in time, correct?
Yeah.
But, the strategy is very simply maximize contribution, maximize EBITDA per ton, right? Not give up on a market as long as it's offering me margins. Do I have a capacity constraint in which I have to sort of start wondering not to supply? Capacity constraint will never be the consideration. But if my costs are at a level where by selling I don't make enough contribution, that might be the strategy that we would like to persist with.
But because recent times the real estate demand has come down, and we are traditionally B2C market rather than B2G. So obviously there could be some pressure to accept more of the government orders, or let's say B2B orders, to keep the utilization at a higher level rather than sitting at around 60% capacity utilization? And secondly, sir, to understand, that is part one. And secondly, to understand whether the B2B demand that is creating an issue of raising the prices because the industry is unable to raise even 5 rupees per bag. So in that too, I mean, in by December end, at least in the January middle, I mean, it was expected that, you know, at least 5-10 rupees per bag should have been increased because, you know, for going by the past 20 quarters track record, CAGR, quarterly CAGR of 4%-5%, you know, cost increase in the petcoke front. So what hinders the industry? Is it that, you know, the more of the B2B that is a challenge for raising the prices?
No, I personally don't think B2B per se is the challenge. If you see, even in B2C, the prices have not gone up. So if the challenge was from B2B side, we should have been able to raise at least B2C prices. But there also, we're not finding the opportunity because there are other suppliers willing to sell their cement at a price which is much lower.
So which is the lead? I mean, B2B or B2C?
Sorry?
Because at the industry level, it is nearly 50-50. I mean, you said B2B and B2C. So which is taking the lead? Currently, the lead is being taken by the B2B. So that is why, I mean, I'm not seeing actually in leaders like, you know, UltraTech, you know, they are not able to even raise the prices. So what would be the progress on the pricing front as we approach the peak season?
I really can't answer that question because I really don't have an answer. We all try with every contract that we try and negotiate with every market that we are in. We do try to get somewhat higher price. But the choice is that if I'm quoting a certain price and I'm willing to or not willing to reduce that, the customer always has a choice to go to another brand, another manufacturer, right? So that is where we keep sort of in a way on a very dynamic, agile basis. We keep taking decisions what customer is good for us, what customer is not good for us. And it's not so much about, for me, not so much a preference between B2B or B2C. Largely, in traditionally, what has happened is B2C sales have always given us higher contributions because the cost of production of PPC is somewhat lower and the prices remain attractive on the cost for PPC. B2B is largely about OPC, right? And prices typically get negotiated by the large buyers very, very hard. So it sort of always gives you a little bit less margin. What we're trying to ensure is that even when we are selling more to B2B, that we do not compromise on the margins of contribution. That is our call. How and when can the market make it? Frankly, I'm too small a player to be able to answer that question. I just take the prices as they are in the market. Within relative terms, I try to get a better prices compared to other brands, but overall level of prices is what the market gives to us. I really have, as a company, the size that I am in, I really don't have much option to determine the price and sell my, you know, my volume that I need to sell.
Okay. Going by, I mean, good to see that, you know, you have booked the petcoke up to May 24. So that is a good thing. So
May 23.
I'm sorry, May 23. So what is the scenario? Because, you know, what I see is that, you know, petcoke prices will be remaining quite hard and it will not be softened. So what is your outlook, you know, maybe 6 months down the line? Is the petcoke at all, you know, crack or it will be again rising?
My own guess as of now is, look, there are two dynamics working here. One is the dynamic of that only yesterday what we heard that the largest manufacturer of petcoke in India says, "I will not sell petcoke at all." So obviously, on the one side, the supply is going down. But the second dynamic, which is also relevant, is that in the recent past, although petcoke has not come down, but the coal prices have been coming down, right? Now, coal prices coming down, as of now, they are still on million calorific basis, landed cost of U.S. coal, South African coal is still higher than petcoke. But if those prices keep coming down at a certain point, it will start making a lot more sense for people to use coal rather than petcoke, which is the time when the international prices of petcoke will also fall. Because end of the day, they're competing. Right now, petcoke has not softened because even at the current levels, they are still more competitive compared to coal prices.
We always looking for the arbitrage. The moment the coal prices come down, we stop using petcoke and start using coal. So that pressure of the constant basis, I'm sure all of you are aware that the U.S. coal prices, Australian coal prices have been coming down. If they keep coming down, either we switch to coal or petcoke suppliers will have to reduce their prices. So I see a little bit benign climate for cost of fuel, let me put it, whether it's coal or petcoke in the next 6 months, as you asked.
Thank you. Mr. Narayan, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nandi from Ratnabali Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Hello?
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, can you please share the volume numbers? Because I missed your initial commentary.
14.3 lakh tons.
14.3 lakh tons. And sir, what are our expectations for the Rajasthan mine, which got cleared? Any views around that, sir?
Well, mines come back, but I have reported earlier also, we are now in the process of identifying the key land that we need and the cost of buying the land, because we haven't bought any land, as I've always maintained, because the mining lease was not with us. There was no point in buying the land and keeping it. So the process of buying the land, we have started. We have identified the pieces on which the plant will need to come up, which is the first land that we need to have in hand. Once we acquire that, we don't need to acquire the entire 1,500 acres or thereabouts, but definitely the initial 100-odd acres we will need to buy, based on which we'll have to give the complete geolocation of the proposed plant to the Ministry of Environment Forest for them to process our application. So Rajasthan is still, as I mentioned from the start, it is a minimum 3-year project, not less than that.
Thank you. The current participant has left the question queue. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Ashraf Patel from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations for decent set of numbers despite very challenging times. My question is regarding Q4 volume numbers. There is some doubt on that. So we expect on an annual basis for FY23, 5.8 million ton of volume. Whereas in 9 months, we have done close to 4.03 million ton. Now, if you expect QOQ growth of 10%, next quarter should be around 1.5 million ton. But to achieve our target of 5.8 million ton, we'll need close to 22% growth in volumes, QOQ, around 1.77 million ton. So what are our estimates? Are we expecting a 1.5 million ton number for Q4 or 1.77 million ton?
We are expecting in the region of 1.7 to 1.8 million for this quarter. We are working towards that. Rather than expecting or hoping, we are working towards that. Irrespective of what the market growth is.
Sure. Okay. And sir, in 9 months, FY23, we have achieved close to 560 rupees of EBITDA per ton. So what would be annual guidance or our aspiration for this FY23?
Well, as I mentioned, we have most of the year we found an opportunity to get better prices from the market in Q4, right? So that is an expectation or hope. Rather, on volume side, I told you that we are actually working toward that. On price, that is the hope that we will get some opportunity at some time in the remaining 8 weeks to get a price, better prices. But if the prices do not go up, that will remain a challenge. And in that case, our EBITDA per ton, even if we take the operating leverage benefits and all, I mean, this quarter we've done about 640 or thereabouts. That in this quarter, it has the potential to, with the existing prices, be somewhere between 750, 800 rupees a ton, whatever that then weighted does for the year. But also at the same time, we are still not losing hope that there might be windows for us to get better pricing, which I'm not factoring into the EBITDA pattern that I've just now talked about.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhiral Shah from PhillipCapital, PCG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, since we are entering into a pre-election phase in the regions we operate, likes of Telangana, Karnataka, as well as there is a Lok Sabha election next year, so what kind of volume growth guidance we expect for the next for FY24?
Quite frankly, I mean, given all that we've heard in the budget speech of the finance minister this year, which, as I said, has been, is something which I see an extremely positive budget for the cement industry. And given the fact that we still are, as an industry, not seeing the kind of demand that we've seen in the pre-COVID times, I would not be surprised that if FY24, the industry continues to see growth well above 10%. My own guess would be 12-13% should be expected with so much support coming from the government in terms of CAPEX. I see no reason why, and mind you, FY23 will still be a modest base. I won't call it low, but still a very, very modest base to work on, right? And we just need to look back in good years, what kind of volume the industry has managed to sell. So I think we have enough room to expect a growth of well over 10%.
So we growing the faster than the industry, or we will be growing at par with the industry growth?
Look, every company would want to sort of do it faster than the industry. You have to see the track record. I think overall, if you see our last 5 years also, our track record has been that we've been able to grow at a rate higher than the industry, and that effort will continue. But like I said, the volume growth for me is also a function of whether I keep getting the right kind of contribution to work with given the cost base. So yes, we certainly would think that if we are closing this year with the momentum I just spoke about, in that case, we would like to sort of, why wouldn't we target a growth about 15% in FY24? We have the capacity, we have the market presence, we have the ability to sell. I need the right prices, that's all.
Okay. And sir, just lastly, so what with the, you know, commencement of the waste heat recovery plant plus the alternative fuel that we are, you know, continuously improving, and now the fuel inventory that we have, do you expect that our EBITDA per ton may again, you know, inch up to 1,000 rupees in FY24?
I certainly would think so. But in EBITDA, we always have to remember, EBITDA has two sides. One is the price realization, second is the cost. And in cost management, I think we can take a huge amount of pride in being amongst the best in the industry. To me, 1,000 rupees for next financial year, to me, looks like, given the demand momentum that we see, I think 1,000 rupees should be a fairly achievable expectation. I would like to believe that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashvi Dedia from Centra Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on WHRS side. So as 10 megawatts of WHRS will be coming in Chittapur plant, so how much savings per ton will be done on account of it?
See, earlier also I had mentioned that if you take the cost of that at about 100 crores and the payback of 3 years, now per ton you can keep calculating at the company, because its saving will be only at Chittapur and that's only 10 megawatts, right? So I'm expecting a saving of around 30 crores a year. Take that out and per ton basis, whatever is the number. For me, it's the total saving.
Okay.
That is a lot more, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girija from Systematix Shares and Stocks. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. So my question is pertaining to the pricing. So do you think or do you see any kind of pricing pressure because of new players entered in the market? Because there is a increase in direct sales from the factory. So the retailers or dealers, they used to, when they are, ordering any, if their order value was somewhere around, 460, 500 cement bags at a time, minimum order. But now the few companies, they have reduced it and they are ready to, deliver 260, 300 bags to the retailers or distributors. And few companies, they are also shutting down their godowns for a cost cutting purpose. So in that way, do you see any kind of pricing pressure at this moment?
The pricing pressures have been visible. That's why we've not been able to raise our prices further. We guys are operating at a fairly, I would say, in a very fairly tight market where costs have not given us any relief, and they've been going up. And the sales side, we've not been able to pass on the costs. So obviously, price pressure is existing. I mean, throughout this financial year, we've seen the pricing pressure. In terms of people choosing to start supplying smaller quantity orders, frankly, indirectly, that's a price pressure only, because the moment you start supplying smaller quantities, your cost of logistics goes up, right? So when we're taking a decision, we not only look at what the price per bag or per ton for us is, we also look at, so what's my cost of delivery, right? The players who are finding it, let's say, necessary, as far as we are concerned, what I can tell you is we do supply smaller quantity orders, but we are supplying them to only dealers or customers who are very close to our plants. We can't afford to supply very small quantities to dealers who are 200, 300 kilometers away. We just can't afford.
Yes.
Somebody within 30, 40 kilometers is there, some market, some customer, some dealer, we can look at that, yes.
Okay. And currently, what is the price gap between trade and non-trade?
Oh, another question. Depends on which particular market, which customer you talk about. But largely, I think at this stage, what's happening is that with all the demand from B2B sector, we are actually seeing prices being fairly firm.
Okay.
In the sense that they're not able to get away with much lower prices, especially because they're buying the higher cost. Also, the price gap may not be there, but because of higher costs, the margins come under pressure there in B2B. Price-wise, I think I don't think they're getting a discount over B2C prices because we can't afford it.
Okay. And this hello. Yeah. So this Q4 number will be mostly in volume-driven number, not in price realization. We cannot see much in realization front.
Look, please understand what I said. I said there are nothing line of sight which says prices will go up in this quarter, and that's why the numbers I spoke about, I spoke assuming that the prices have not gone up further, will not go up further. But I also mentioned that in Q4, most of the years you would see, we have seen prices improving in Q4, so I'm not giving up on that hope. That's, for me, the bonus on top of the volumes that I've spoken of.
Yeah, because January, we do not see much price hike. It's all in the average price. It's more or less like, so 2 months, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at historical trends, there is still hope, there's still optimism that in the remaining weeks, we may get a few weeks of good, better pricing.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Reminder to the participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one.
Harsh, I think there's just 3 minutes left, so if people have got all their answers, then we may be good for the day.
So we have two questions in the queue. Should we take that?
Okay. Since you asked it, okay. The last two then.
The next question is from the line of Shovik Chakraborty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you, this is a data-based question. Can you just mention the per kcal cost, I mean blended cost?
I did mention earlier.
Sir, I did not get that.
That becomes a problem if the same question keeps coming back.
Was it below 2.2 sort of that?
Yeah, just about. I'd actually read out the number. I think it was lower than that. I said well under 2,200. That's what I had said, yeah.
Sir, and the lead distance for this quarter?
Lead distance, we always say, we've been a little over 300 kilometers. So some quarter it comes down to 5 kilometers, some quarter it goes. There's no major difference. I mean, between 5, 7 kilometers, there's no variation from the previous quarter. So a little over 300 is what we keep telling the markets. We certainly are well below 350. We are nowhere in the range of 350. So that's the other way of putting it. But precisely exact number, we've not been giving out. We generally give a range.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you.
There were two questions first. So is there somebody else also waiting?
The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
One back in the queue. Yes.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted to know, what is the availability of the domestic coal so far as the G3 or G4 grade coal of 6,000 plus kcal grade?
From the mines that we buy, we are not seeing that availability. That's a problem. G5 onwards, we are getting adequate coal, and we are buying for, when I mentioned that our Devapur Telangana plant, we are largely dependent on domestic coal. It's a mix of G5, G8, and that's good enough for our production. We top it up, given the price difference between G2, G3 and the G5, G8, we rather top it up with some pet coke as a sweetener, rather than buying a very expensive coal where by the time the coal reaches you, you know the gaps that exist between what they say is the grade and what quality of coal we end up getting. So better off buying G5 plus G8 and using pet coke as a sweetener.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I think I've provided all the information that the participants asked for or needed as required. And I once again would like to thank all of them, all the participants once again for your interest in our company. You keep coming back to us, keep asking this question, which enables us to let the rest of the world know through you people how our operations are going. Thank you for your time. Thank you for effort. Thank you for your contribution. And some ideas, suggestions that come up, they're always welcome. Thank you, Harsh, and thank you, Isaac, for again, once again, connecting this conference. The call very well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.